Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek : A Glee Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
How's it going?
It is going so well.
I'm sure.
I cannot express it.
I'm sure.
How about with you?
Literally so fucking shitty.
Just kidding. I knew it. We always, a witch placed a curse on Lena and I the day we were born. We are twins.
Yeah.
And she said, one of you cannot be happy without the other one being absolutely miserable.
Do you feel like you actually have friends that are like that? That whenever their life is going really well, your life is going poorly, or vice versa? Because I totally feel like I have friends like that.
Tell me more. I'm fascinated by
it's
this.
It's you and me. Just kidding. No, but I have this friend who I've had, like, since, like, she grew up in my neighborhood. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. But I always felt like when I was feeling really good, she was going through something, like, terrible. And vice versa. Like, my parents got a divorce and she was like getting her first boyfriend and like was on top of the world. So our lives have always been like that ebb and flow thing. I don't know how it is right now. I haven't like exactly checked in on her, but she must be doing poorly. I'm doing well.
And yo, Lena's neighbor, if you ever listen to this, just know every day you have a good day.
I have a shitty one.
Lena is doing terrible.
Yeah.
And that's on you.
Honestly.
That's on your conscience.
Totally. And now that witch who cursed us the day we were born, because we are twins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When's our birthday?
April 4th.
We're Aries. Okay.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Coming at you live from Lena's bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Very exciting stuff.
Very exciting. Ooh, something really funny about our apartment complex is we're sharing it with all the actors, right? And they put all of the fucking tap dancing cops on the top floor.
What's that about?
Literally, I am awoken every morning by someone tap dancing, which, like, please keep tap dancing. I'm not mad at them, but it's... Why did they pick that?
They put us all on the third floor, and then they said, the first week of tap rehearsals, you have to do over Zoom in your bedroom.
Literally.
So,
oh my gosh.
It's not even like we can be considerate. Like, we are being told tap dance in your bedroom on the third floor.
Yeah. I feel bad.
You're welcome, everyone who lives beneath us.
I mean, I don't feel bad for myself. I feel bad for my neighbors, because they're not in the musicals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, those fucking musical kids, shut the fuck up. The people who don't know what we're talking about, Ian and I now work in at a theater, and we have housing, all of the actors. And we all live together, which is so fun, but also pretty crazy. You know, there's always something going on. It, like, I know you've never seen the movie Raise Your Voice.
True. Although, of course, I do know the very famous vocal warm-up. from Raise Your Voice.
Mm-hmm. But like, it definitely feels just like that. Like walking down the hallway and like someone's doing a monologue, like someone's singing, someone's tap dancing on the top floor.
Honestly, the dream.
I know.
And for any normie, the absolute worst nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
But for a person like us,
yeah,
wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
I know. Well, listen, being awoken by tap dancing every morning should be super annoying. It is oddly comforting. I'm like, oh, they're practicing. But why? Who put all the tap dancing cops on the top floor?
I don't know. Take it up with company management. Oh my God. Wasn't my choice.
So funny. So funny. Luckily, I can take it.
Well, hello, everyone.
Yeah.
My name is Ian Allred, the tap dancing cop. I am also, on top of that, a tap dancing gleek.
Mm-hmm. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I don't tap dance this season, but I have tapped in the past. Mostly, I'm a gleek, though. Should we talk about Night of Neglect?
Let's neglect some nights.
Give me some. How about we start with Glacts?
Oh my gosh, that is a novel new concept.
Oh yeah, it's time for the Glacts.
All right. Night of Neglect is the 17th episode of season 2, the 39th episode overall. It aired on April 19th, 2011, which is, of course, 15 days after our shared birthday. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Sweet 16 for us. We were born in 95. We're going with my birth year. Happy sweet 16.
That means we're millennials.
Yeah. That's my pride. I don't know why. It's the whole thing of, like, being the youngest sibling. I always wanted to, like, be older.
Oh, I hear that.
Because I always wanted to, like, be cool enough for my siblings' friends. Mm-hmm. And so I would always like pretend I knew the stuff that they knew.
Yeah.
And so I've never been able to let go of the fact of identifying myself as a millennial, which like I technically am, mm-hmm. even though I literally am like on the cusp,
yeah.
like 2 years later and I'm no longer a millennial.
Yeah.
I always growing up was like, I'm a 90s kid. And I was like, Ian, you were 4 years old when the 90s ended.
Literally.
Like you are not a 90s kid. And I was like, yes, I am.
My brother was born in 2000 and I used to give him so much like, you never saw the 90s.
Mm. And you're like, I have exactly two memories of the 90s. So you should have been there.
I wore lots of overalls in the 90s. I dressed up as Barney characters every Halloween.
So, it aired on 2 weeks and a day after Sweet 16.
Yes.
It was originally supposed to air just 8 days after our Sweet 16 on April 12th. It got pushed back a week. I don't know why. I couldn't find out the reason. What was the reason? I imagine Fox had like some special event that they're like, we're doing this, so... Anyways,
it was our birthday celebration.
Yeah, they were like, we're throwing Ian and Lena their Sweet 16
on Fox
a week and a day after. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to push back
absolutely.
Night of Neglect. It was directed by Carol Banker, who also directed Furt. Guess who it was written by?
Oh, it was written by Miss Goop's husband.
It was not written by
really?
Mr. Goop. It was written by, think about it, we got Sandy Ryerson. We got Terry Schuster.
This is Ian Brennan.
We got Azemio. That is Ian Brennan stink all up in this episode. It was written by Ian Brennan. It also, so I went on the sacred text. I went on Glee Wiki. Mm-hmm. And there was a weird, like, clip art of a medallion.
Clip art?
Yeah, like on the page. Okay. And it said Glee Wiki Awards winner. And I was like, what is this?
Glee Wiki, there are awards?
So, fun fact, everyone. The sacred text used to, sadly, they don't do it anymore.
God damn it.
R.I.P. Glee Wiki. They used to have an annual award ceremony.
No way!
Where everyone would vote on, like, at the end of season 2. It was essentially like our season wrap-up episodes. It's almost exactly what we do in season wrap-up. Where they would do like best solo song, best duet song, all that for the season. And for season 2, Night of Neglect won best cat fight because of the fight between Karofsky, Klain, and Santana.
Okay.
Which I guess is a cat fight.
But like we have the cat fight in season 2 is the walk away.
And tighten up your pony before you get to class was robbed.
Are you kidding?
I want a recount.
Listen, that scene is fun. And, you know, Santana is the best, but best cat fight? Get out of here.
She has a family.
She's a mother.
No contest.
You have a surgery when you get your appendix out. You got a boob job.
Yep, sure did. Everyone start a letter writing campaign to GleeWiki right now.
I'm devastated.
All right. This episode, guest stars, Miss Goop is Holly Holiday. Mm-hmm. It is her final appearance for many seasons. So everyone say goodbye your favorite substitute.
Yeah. I know you guys loved her so much.
I know. I know we all love Holly Holiday in this house, especially me. Uh-huh. I am captain of the Holly Holiday love train. Uh-huh. It's going to be very hard for me. please have respect for me and my family during this trying time. It also guest stars Stephen Tobolowsky as Sandy Ryerson in his final appearance ever.
Are you kidding me?
Goodbye, Sandy. Truly, I was watching this episode.
The Pink Dagger.
And I am a Sandy fan, which is a controversial opinion.
Yeah.
But I was like, he doesn't belong on the show anymore. The show he used to be on is a different show. And for like what Glee has morphed into, which like I'm not saying is bad, but like he just does not fit in what the show is now.
Totally.
Then we got Cheyenne Jackson as Dustin Goolsbee. Remember him? Mm-hmm. He sure hasn't done anything since he was introduced 16 episodes ago. And then we got Jake Zyrus as Sunshine Corazon. Remember her? Sunshine sure hasn't done anything since she was introduced 16 episodes ago.
I hate this show.
This episode was like, oh yeah, these people.
Yeah.
They're in this show. We haven't talked about them in a while. All right. Songs in this episode. All by Myself by Eric Carmen, but specifically the Celine Dion version sung by Sunshine Corazon. I Follow Rivers by Licky Lee, sung by Tina Cohen Chang. Get ready for some upsetting facts.
Oh, no.
This is the only released Tina solo from season 2. It is the second Tina solo that ends early because she starts crying. This Glact isn't sad. She was originally supposed to sing a Bjork song.
Yeah. Oh.
But they couldn't get in contact with Bjork because Bjork doesn't have a phone.
Classic Bjork. Because Bjork doesn't have a phone, genuinely.
So they didn't do a Bjork song.
Bjork is so hilarious to me.
And then apparently they did get in contact with Bjork finally. And she read the script and was like, this isn't right for whatever song they wanted. And she was like, but I do love the show. Yeah. So do one of my songs in the future. And then if I'm not wrong, they never did. So sorry, Bjork.
Sorry, Bjork.
Also, this number gets cut off at 48 seconds. I timed it. A crime. Mm-hmm. But there is an extended version on YouTube that is the entire song. No heckling. Just Tina.
Yes!
Everyone go watch it. All right, next we got Turning Tables by Adele, sung by Miss Goop. Then we got Ain't No Way by Aretha Franklin, sung by Mercedes Jones. Guess who's in the gospel choir behind Mercedes Jones?
Mom.
Heck yeah, Yay. Mama Riley's back there.
Yay.
Also, Amber Riley performed this song at the Glee Live concert.
Oh, cool.
And guess no. Backtracking.
Okay.
And that's the final song of the episode, because guess who doesn't have a solo?
Raquel.
For the first time in the entirety of season 2, and the only time in the entirety of season 2, that Rachel does not have a solo in an episode.
Good. Literally. I was watching the episode and I was waiting for it. I was like, oh God, is this going to happen?
When Mercedes comes off the stage and she's like, now go do the closing number, Rachel. I was like, no.
Yeah, don't.
No,
sit
please,
your ass
let's
down.
Have an episode where she
sit
doesn't.
Sit down, Rachel.
She was supposed to have a song.
Are you joking my ass?
She was supposed to sing How by Lisa Loeb, which is what I was listening to before we started recording.
Oh, yes.
But it was cut. But
good.
I don't know how far in the process it got. I don't know if it was like, Rachel will sing, and then they're like, she shouldn't sing, or like, she had fully recorded it, and then they cut it. I have no idea.
Oh, interesting.
But at some point, the thought of her singing How was tossed around.
Mm.
All right, so at the beginning of this episode, Will writes an equation on the board because he's trying to figure out how they are going to raise $20,000 by selling saltwater taffy for a quarter each. And he says 5,000 times 2.25 equals 20,000. That's not math. That's not how math works. That if you time something by a decimal, the original number is going to be smaller. The actual answer to that equation is 1,250. What the equation should have been is 20,000 divided by 0.25 equals 5,000. But apparently this is not a mistake on part of the show. Apparently it's an inside joke.
Oh.
So
what? Yeah, I mean, I'm much too pretty to do math, so I didn't notice.
This is the first episode of the show where every single song in the episode is performed in the McKinley High Auditorium.
Cool!
In this episode, this is like such a random fact. In this episode, Gwyneth Paltrow as Holly Holiday.
Yes.
Talks about how she used to send rude letters to Debbie Gibson, and then Debbie Gibson responded and said that it was giving her alopecia, and she says that she was just jealous that Debbie Gibson could fill up a mall, but Debbie Gibson never went on mall tours. Another teen pop star of the 80s named Tiffany went on mall tours, and they were often pitted against each other as rivals.
What? Just, dude, Ian Brennan, what the hell is going
don't
on?
Don't you know your 80s teen pop stars, Ian Brennan?
I do not.
Embarrassing.
I know.
All right. In the Brainiacs competition, the Jeopardy categories are cat diseases, deadly cyclones, defunct sodas. This is one of my favorite ones.
Defunct sodas?
Yeah, like sodas that are out of business now.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that word then.
This one's my favorite one. Mm. Famous Mervs. Just like people named Merv who are famous.
Merv. That's funny.
Fat or pregnant, history of shoehorns, organic chemistry, potpourri, and white rappers. Finn's quote in this episode, "The show's gotta go all over the place or something," is what is written on Finn's plaque after Corey Monteith passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And they put a plaque of Finn in the auditorium. That's the quote written on the plaque. But they misquote him. They say, "The show must go all over the place," when he says, "The show's gotta go all over the place." Obviously, they're not Gleeks because they got the line wrong.
Maybe if they would have checked Glee Wiki.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
These are such obscure facts. During the Brainiacs competition, Brittany says that feline AIDS was discovered in 2001 in Calcutta. However, feline immunodeficiency virus was actually isolated at UC Davis in 1986.
Duh!
So take that point away, Brainiacs. Yeah, you're not going to Detroit. What the hell? Also, our final glact, very exciting one to end on, is that this episode got very bad reviews and was one of the main catalysts that inspired Ryan Murphy to hire more writers for season 3, which is funny because I would say that that plan then backfired because the writing got even more inconsistent in season 3. But those are your glacts.
Thanks for the glacts.
You're welcome for the glacts.
Interesting. How did you feel about this episode?
Hear me out. I remembered things about this episode. I remembered that Sandy was in it and Terry and Dustin and like Azemio and Jacob and all that stuff. I remember that there was like a lot of stuff about this episode that I normally like side characters coming back. And I remember that like Tina got a solo and Mercedes got a solo. Like I remembered a lot of stuff that made me think I was really going to enjoy it. And then I watched it and was like, it has all these things that I like, and yet they're all executed very poorly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think you like it better than last week's episode? Original song?
Last week's was mostly like so upsetting to me because it was a competition.
Yeah.
And I was like, competitions are almost always a highlight of Glee.
Yeah. And I was upset as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how this one is like less critically acclaimed for sure, but it's not as like absolutely like upsetting to me as a fan.
Yeah. Like it was regionals. Yeah. Like regionals mean something.
Yeah.
Whereas like Night of Neglect, I don't even know what that is. And frankly, I've watched the episode. I still don't know what a Night of Neglect is. And so I would say that like as just an episode, original songs is on par with this episode, maybe a little better than this episode, but I was less disappointed in this one.
I hear that.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I felt definitely middle of the road about it. Like, it is not... Like, there were parts of last week's episode that, like, made me, like, viscerally angry. And there are things in this episode that make me angry, but just, like... not viscerally like I was last week. And maybe that's just because, like, it's regionals, you know? And then it's just, like, the episode after regionals. Like, how good can it be?
Yeah. Last season, the episode after regionals was our summer vacation. There was no episode.
Yeah. We didn't even take a summer vacation.
In 2010?
2010?
I'm talking about season one regionals. What?
Oh, you're talking about... Oh, I thought you meant like for us doing the podcast. I was like, we didn't take a break.
That was Christmas. We took 2 months off. You don't remember that?
No.
We went on a cruise. We had so much fun.
You would hate to go on a cruise with me.
Why?
I've told you, I get very sick on cruises and I ruin proposals. Yeah, whoever you're proposing to, I'm going to fucking ruin it.
I was going to say, because you keep your parents from getting engaged.
Yeah, and they're still not engaged.
Our longtime listeners will know that Lena one time was on a cruise where her stepdad was going to propose to her mom and she put up a stink because she was seasick and the proposal never happened.
I was seasick and I was also a mega turd. Man, you would hate to go on a cruise with me. I am a good vacation partner in a lot of ways. Not for cruises, though. Because I get sick and I get angry. Mm-hmm. I get ornery. And I get tired. And it's always like, go on the water slide. And I'm like, I'd rather die.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
You got a recap for us?
No, I hate doing the recap. I know I haven't complained about it in a minute, but it just is so... I just hate it. Ah! Okay. Here's what you missed on Glee. New Directions is headed to Nationals in New York, but can't afford the money to fly there. As they attempt to raise the money selling saltwater taffy, as suggested by Will, Mike, Tina, Artie, and Brittany reveal that they need money as a part of their academic decathlon competition and are disappointed with the New Directions' greed. Only wanting to invest the money on the plane ride to New York, Will decides to create a concert attempting to raise money for the academic decathlon, but remains anxious as to whether the New Directions will be able to get the money for the trip to Nationals. Miss Goop is back in town! Mercedes and Rachel feud for the closing spot, and Lauren encourages Mercedes to start demanding respect from people. Sunshine asks them if she can perform with them in exchange for the attendance of her 600 Twitter followers. Sue employs her new Legion of Evil to stop the New Directions from going to Nationals, and they hire students to heckle the New Directions. And then Will and Holly break up, and it's all crazy, and this show is wild, you guys. And that's what you missed on Glee! Woo! I did it! Oh my god, let's talk about this episode. I usually try and take like pretty, not, I wouldn't say intense notes, but definitely notes. I took maybe 20 notes, which in comparison to like the 200 I generally take is just kind of how I felt about this episode.
Yeah.
There's just not much to say about it, I feel like.
It's kind of like a big nothing soup.
Definitely. And definitely like a filler episode.
Mm-hmm. Like reeks of being a filler episode.
Yeah. Like they need Miss Goop to like break up with Will. They need Emma and Will to like do another Will They Won't They. They need blah, 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 blah. We need to like see the vocal adrenaline people again. But like, it's not like anything of substance, I would say, this episode.
Yeah. Which also, why did Will and Holly ever date?
I know.
Nothing came of it.
I know.
That was my thing, is I was like, they got together the last episode that she was here. And they're already breaking up. What was the point of any of that?
Yeah.
It also, like, didn't, like, stall the Will and Emma Will They Won't They anymore.
No, they still have... Oh, my God.
Well, also because Emma was married at the time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, Emma's married, so Will gets with Holly, and then her marriage falls apart, and now it's, like, weird because he's with Holly, so now there's that obstacle, because, like, the timeline between Emma's marriage falling apart and Will and Holly breaking up is 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, why did we bring Miss Goop back at all?
I know.
I mean, like, we got Landslide out of it. So, like, I'm not complaining.
Definitely.
But what story-wise, why did that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. This whole episode is kind of weird to me. I feel like in high school, when I saw this episode the first time, I really liked it. And maybe that's
I think so, too.
I really liked Miss Goop singing Adele.
I truly think that I was like, oh, Sandy and Terry are back. Because you know me. I love
literally
Terry. She's turned Sandy Ryerson.
You know who we're missing, though? Howard Bamboo.
I thought.
I feel like I remembered Howard being in this episode.
So, spoiler alert, Howard Bamboo is going to show up in like the next two or three episodes. Okay. I remember distinctly a scene with Howard in it that hasn't happened yet. And I thought the same thing. I thought it was this episode, but it wasn't. But yeah, where was I going with that?
Howard, we're talking about Howard?
But truly, if Howard and Kendra could have been there, get them in the League of Doom.
Yeah.
It would have been more exciting.
Is it a legion? Is it a league? What do you think your evil nickname would be? If you were in this, like, League of Doom.
Like what Sue would give me? Yeah. I have been called... So one time I was working on a show and we sang a song called Cotton Candy Land. It's a song from like the 50s.
Cotton Candy. Oh, I remember. Like you brought Elvis me up on song. Stage and mm-hmm. I ate cotton candy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And there's a lyric. It's okay, you guys. Literally the song sounds like it's being sung by like a murderer.
Yeah,
it's the lyrics. Spooky. The lyrics sound very creepy. It's supposed to be like a cutesy little lullaby. But it talks about how you're going to like fall asleep and like a big white swan is going to come and you're going to get on the swan and fly away. Super weird. I'm 6'5". And so our choreographer.
Are you? I'm just kidding.
No, I'm actually 4'2". And so our choreographer, when she was choreographing that number, would always refer to me as the big white swan. So I think that the supervillain name that Sue would give me. A long walk to get to this very short punchline is the big white swan. What about you?
I don't know. That's been like, hear me. I've talked about this on the podcast a couple of times. The fact that I don't truly have a nickname is something that haunts me every day.
And again, I talk about the fact that you are blatantly ignoring the fact that I called you Leaner Canasta for 2 years.
You don't call me that anymore.
Are you saying you want me to revive Leaner Canasta? I'll
no,
do it.
But why don't you have one for me now?
Leaner. That's it.
What would mine be?
I don't know.
This bit has gone nowhere. I'm
you
sorry.
Would be, let's see. You would be Queen Jumpsuit because you have
I love
so
that.
Many elegant jumpsuits.
I have so many jumpsuits. I wore a jumpsuit yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Queen Jumpsuit and the Big White Swan.
Queen Jumpsuit and the Big White Swan.
Coming to tear apart the New Directions.
That is fun. Perfect. All right. Okay. So how do you want to split up this episode?
Frankly, this episode is just like a big stew. I don't.
A hodgepodge.
Yes, it's like a big hodgepodge. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of like character arcs. Like we have like a Mercedes arc.
Yeah.
But there's not like a ton of stuff. It's just like a lot of little things.
Yeah.
So I think let's just chat. And then at the end, we can check our notes and see if we missed anything big and then talk about that. Do you have a jumping off point? What's the first, what is that you think of this episode? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I think of Miss Goop and Will breaking up. So let's talk about just their plot.
Okay, Miss Goop.
Miss Goop.
Here's my first thing.
What's your first thing?
So Miss Goop and Will are eating pizza at his apartment. And
Miss Goop does not eat pizza. I do not buy it.
I like to see the receipts.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how
Shall
he needs to
fundraise.
Should
we go get a pizza after this? I'm just kidding.
I would honestly be done. No, I brought groceries yesterday. I have to cook something. He talks about how he needs to fundraise for the New Directions. And she says, you should do a night of neglect. And then just leaves it at that as if that's something that literally anyone has ever heard
yeah,
of.
Yeah, totally.
That's my thing with this episode. Is like, what is a night of neglect? Because what she describes is a telethon. Those are not called nights of neglect. When you
well, I
like,
think the night of neglect is like the theme for this thing.
But then they don't stick to that theme whatsoever.
I know.
Because then the theme, she's like, well, it specifically is not just like a fundraiser, but it's a night of neglect because you'll sing songs by neglected artists. For example, I will sing a song by the neglected artist who's no one has ever recognized. Adele.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, multi-Grammy like, award-winning Adele.
Aretha Franklin, Adele, Jack Johnson.
Celine Dion.
Sunshine sings a song by Celine Dion and Eric Carmen. Like, these are not artists that, like, have not gotten their due.
I know, I hear that. But I think the reason it's called Night of Neglect is specifically to put on a concert specifically by neglected artists, even mm-hmm. if they don't stick with it. And I think that's just, like, Ian Brennan being dumb.
Yeah, it's just the show. It's like the show has such bad consistency that even within the same episode, they've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
That they forgot, like, oh, this was supposed to be the theme of the concert. Like, just have the neglect to be about the fact that, like, the Glee Club has been neglected. Like, if you lay out the rules in the episode, stick to the rules in the episode, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
Anyways. But on to other Miss Goop stuff.
I know, on to other Miss Goop stuff. Jeez. It's her relationship to Will is so weird. And I just think when men specifically write characters that are women who are like flighty women, I get very annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm annoyed by flighty women. I know them. I love them. I am them. But like, she's like, I'm a substitute, Will. What do you expect from me? You can't keep me down. It feels very like Manic Pixie Dream Girl to me. Like, she is such a Manic Pixie Dream Girl, and it especially bothers me in this episode. She's like, I'm not a jealous person, Will. I'm not like this. You're making me something I'm not. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Like, yeah. Please stop.
And it's not enough that it's satirical.
Yeah.
Because frankly, the idea of like a satire show set in high school and like the substitute's whole deal is that she's like the mysterious woman who like blows in from town to town is actually very funny concept for a satire.
And like the reason she's a substitute is because she like wants it and she likes like everything about it. Like not being in too many places at once.
Yeah. Just like the idea that like a substitute teacher is like a jet setting, like woman of mystery is like such a fun concept.
Cool. Yeah.
But they don't lean into it enough that it is played straight. And then it is just like, no, they're not making fun of this trope. They're just doing the trope.
Yeah, they're just doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
I love that when she breaks up with Will, she walks into total darkness.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where
did she go?
The half of the hallway that Will is standing on is, like, still lit, and there's, like, light coming in through the windows. She walks into the abyss.
Didn't even
like, is she gonna make it to her car okay? Like, not even, like, ambient light from the windows. It is a line of black on the ground. She walks, and within, like, 2 seconds, she has vanished.
She's a Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Does Where not turn on go? A phone Where does flashlight. She live? Yeah, just she just like She's got an absorbed into being. The air.
An ethereal being.
I would love it if the twist at the end of this episode was that she was just like a ghost.
Yeah, it's like, and then everyone's like, "Well, Holly hasn't been here this week."
Yeah, and then he's like looking through the trophy case, and there's a picture of like the Glee Club's win in 1926, and then like she's the coach.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Like The Shining, but romantic.
Yes,
I would love it.
You mean The Shining is a romantic?
It is. The Shining.
Have you seen The Shining?
No, I have.
You should. I know you don't want to on principle, but that movie rocks. No,
I think I would like The Shining.
Yeah, you would. That movie.
Because my thing is I can't do like cut-em-up slasher movies.
It's not cut-em-up slasher.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I would like it. I just frankly have never gotten around to it.
We'll watch it. I mean, like Stanley Kubrick, but that movie is pretty good. What was I going to say? Her song is so beautiful. And I also love how everyone in the orchestra is straight up children. It is so funny to me. It makes a ton of sense too. I'm like, that is such a fun detail.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't acknowledge it at all. I just think it's so funny and cute. She does such a great job. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Also a very good song for her character.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Like the lyrics to that song work really well for how they set up Holly.
Didn't you listen to my song? I meant every word.
Yeah, before she gets on, she's like, listen closely, Will. I mean every word.
I mean every word.
Do you have any more Miss Goop thoughts?
That I truly don't.
Might be it. Oh, I have one more. I do rag on Holly a lot. Frankly, I stand by it. She has a very good teacher moment in this episode, I think, when she is supposed to talk to the hecklers. And she does a very good job of, instead of being like, you little punks.
Like, no, I'm not mad at you.
You're being, yeah, she like levels with them and she treats them like they are good kids.
Yeah.
And like, I know you're good kids. Like, I don't think you're a bad person, but like, hey, this one thing you're doing, just like think about how it's affecting other people.
And then she shares with them like the effect that they've had. Mm-hmm. Like, just so you know, the girl that you heckled has been crying for the last like hour. Yeah. which is like, I think the move when like disciplining people is mm-hmm. like, no, like I understand you're a human person, but like listen to the ramifications of yeah. your like hurtfulness, you know?
Yeah. And she like talks to them in a way where they're not going to get defensive.
I was nervous you weren't going to like this part because it was kind of quote unquote after school specially.
Oh, no. I like to find. I thought it was weird that she talked about having great sex when she was talking to high schoolers. I was like, okay, Holly, let's chill out. Let's not get so horned up. These are minors. But what can you expect? What is she saying, do you want to touch me? And yeah. told Artie to run his fingers through her hair.
What was I going to say? Ooh, that moment. And maybe this can bleed into a Will conversation.
Great.
The moment where the not Dakota Stanley... The guy from Julie and the Phantoms, who's also on Broadway, Cheyenne Jackson.
He's in Julie and the Phantoms?
Yeah. Dude, that's the reason I want you to see that show, because you should sing all the songs he sings in that show. You guys, Ian and I are finally together, so we're like, we gotta watch all these shows, starting with Julie and the freaking Phantoms.
Fine.
And then we can watch Girls Five Eva.
Girls Five Eva is great!
What was I gonna say?
That is such a like encapsulation of our personalities. That you are pressuring me to watch Julie and the Phantoms.
To watch Julie and the Phantoms, and a show written for 14-year-olds.
And I'm pressuring you to watch Girls Five Eva.
And I love how we're pressuring each other. And I just got done pressuring you to watch The Shining. That's what it's like to hang out with Ian and I.
Peer pressure is our lingua franca, what can I say? Yeah,
absolutely. What was I going to say? He hits on her, and then Will comes in and gets so pissed at her. And then she goes, that wasn't my fault, asshole. Like, I liked that line, where she's like, how is that my fault? You should not be getting pissed at me for someone, like, hitting on me. Yeah. Will is such a turd, and he's such a freaking... His savior complex is... freaking out to play this episode. I hate it.
The worst part of that scene is when Cheyenne Jackson is like, he's got tiny hands, blah blah blah, and he goes, he's got like wee tiny little baby hands. Well, they're big enough to knock your teeth in.
Oh, I know. That... And I was like, Cheyenne Jackson is like freaking 6'9". Shut the fuck up. Was
very embarrassing to watch.
How tall is Cheyenne Jackson? I'm gonna look it up. Got a guess?
I'm going to say 6'2". He's 6'3". I was very close.
Very close.
Cheyenne Jackson is wasted on this show.
I know.
Absolutely wasted.
It makes sense that you hear Broadway Cheyenne Jackson is going to be on Glee. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You hear that and you're like, that makes sense. Does he sing at all on this show?
Even beyond singing, though... He, like, this episode, they finally let him be funny, but, like, he was introduced 16 episodes ago. They have finally done something with him, and then I think he only comes back one more time.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point? It's dumb.
Dumb.
The show has a dumb problem where they are like, okay, new story ideas. What if we add a bunch of new characters for new plots? And so they just are constantly like inundating the show with like more and more and more and more characters, but never developing any of them beyond like Finchel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get like,
yeah,
you get of course like the Tinas and the Mercedes who have been there from the beginning and have been constantly ignored. And then on top of that, you also get like the Sunshines and the Dustins that get introduced later. And it's like, well, why did you even bother introducing them? They didn't change anything. They didn't have any effect on the show. Yeah. Like, why are they there?
Especially because Sunshine is such a good example of that, because like we've talked about like, What's-His-Face was introduced and gonna be on this show, and everyone was super excited. And then he's on this show for, like, what, 2, 3, 4 episodes? And has no effect on the new directions at all, if only to make Rachel anxious.
Mm-hmm. And it has this feeling, when Sunshine is first introduced, it has this feeling of, like, keeping vocal adrenaline present, and that this is going to be like,
they just have them dance in the background. Let's spy on their rehearsals again. My goodness.
Well, I think it also could work if they committed to it.
Yeah,
but we have
true.
Not heard of vocal adrenaline since.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, I don't know.
And like Nationals is so close that, like, yes, we can start some vocal adrenaline buildup now, but it's never going to be as strong.
Yeah.
Like, season one, you meet them in the pilot. They come back in acapellas.
And vocal adrenaline is scary.
Mm-hmm. They're name dropped again in Roads Not Taken. That is, like, three separate times in the first half of the season that vocal adrenaline is, like, very present in an episode. And then in the back half, you have Jesse in almost every single episode.
Yes.
Like, they are such a looming force. And, like, this season, I kind of forget that vocal adrenaline is a thing.
And also, we have Sunshine, who obviously isn't anything like Jesse, but, like, she's in the show, and she's not a threat. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very, 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 very talented, but it's not like she is a villain. Yeah. Which, like, the place of vocal adrenaline last season was the villain. So who is the villain here? Is it, I think it's just Sue.
Well, I think they had in mind a very interesting idea, which is that Rachel is the villain because Sunshine legitimately didn't have ulterior motives. She was very talented and she was a team player.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Rachel botched it. And it could have led Rachel down a very interesting path of, like, being really isolated from the group and having to really confront the fact that, like, her ego is actively making her lose. Because she has this attitude, she even talks about in this episode, that she, like, being a star, she wants it more than anything, and she will do anything to be a star. And that could have led her down the path of realizing that, no, because sometimes you do things because you think it will make you a star, and it actually works against you.
Yeah.
But they... Rachel faced, like, no repercussions.
Yeah, classic.
She doesn't learn anything. So it's just, like, why was that in there?
Yeah. Like, Sunshine totally could be a really interesting foil to Rachel if they used Sunshine more.
Yeah.
Like, if we, like, saw Sunshine interacting with her club, you know, or, like, and just seeing, like, the dichotomy of, like, Rachel and Sunshine. I don't know, but it's so... These people are stupid.
Yeah, all these characters are mishandled. All these candles are mishandled. Also, I've noticed that Glee's mishandling a lot of their candles as
Blow the candles
Like candles by Monday, mishandled.
I'm beginning to see the light. Gosh.
All right. Night of Neglect. I got a big thought about this.
Tell me your big thought.
This is something I mentioned so long ago. Okay. Like, I think in season one that I said that, in my opinion, Tina's best solo in the history of the show is in season two.
It's this one?
It's I Follow Rivers. I think it is so good. And it makes me furious.
Literally.
That they cut her off at 48 seconds.
I know.
It's so annoying that they, like, did this gimmick with Tina that she cries every time she sings so that Jenna Ushkowitz can never get a full song. And especially, like, her cover of this song, watch it on YouTube, listen to it on Spotify, is very good.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just so upsetting to me to see, once again, it's like in Special Education where Emma was like, Will, you have a lot of talent in that group. You should showcase more of your students. And then Tina, who gets showcased the least, does not get to sing at sectionals. And then, like, Night of Neglect, the whole idea is kind of like the club members we don't hear from so much. Yeah. Like, let's get them perform.
Absolutely.
And Tina is the only one who doesn't get to sing a song. Like, Mercedes gets to sing her whole song, which, thank goodness, I'm not complaining.
Oh, no, not at all.
And, like, Mike does his whole dance, which, once again, not complaining. But, like, once again, Tina is the one that sings one verse of her song and it's intercut with people yelling at her and then she starts crying and the rest of it gets cut off.
Like, why Tina? Of all of the people, it makes me so angry.
It's dumb.
Especially because Tina is, you know, a part of the original six, you know, and that means something. And, you know, we love all these people so much and we love all these characters, but, like, Tina especially, like, truly never gets her moment on this show. And it bothers me. And it's something that, like, oh my gosh. It, like, just fills me with so much rage. And then you see Tina do, like, Jenna Ushkowitz doing an incredible rendition of this. And then it being ruined.
Tina, they did you so wrong. Tina Cohen-Chang.
I hate it. Like, it's not even like, because if this happened to Rachel, it would be okay. Like, yeah. Rachel would be okay. She gets to sing all the time. Mm-hmm. And then what really, like, twists the knife for me, twists the pink dagger for me. Just kidding. That is gross. What really twists the knife for me is Will says something in the end in, like, his pep talk, which is, like, one of the stupidest pep talks he's ever given, ever. He says something like, Tina, listen, I'm really sorry that happened to you, but, like, that happens. What if that happens in Nationals? That should not be happening at Nationals. And also, Will, why don't you go rectify this? You are a teacher. And he's like, that sure happens. And, like, yes, there are rowdy audiences sometimes that, like, definitely, like, don't agree with you and will heckle you. But this is a school-sanctioned event. No one should be doing that, especially when it's three people, Will. Mm-hmm. Take them, what? Like, kick them out.
It's not like an open mic at a comedy club. No. Yeah, like, just, you're an authority figure. Literally. Get and them out,
like,
of there.
Sorry, Tina, I know life's so shitty for you, but, like, we have to blah, blah, blah. And then this is the kicker. Someone says, like, what about, like, what if they heckle us again? And he says, well, we just have to be good enough not to heckle. And I know that they wrote that as, like, ugh, Mercedes is a beautiful singer. They can't heckle her. She's incredible. True. But at Tina's expense, that happens. And at Mike's expense.
And also, it's just a dumb idea.
Yeah, I know. He is so stupid.
If people were heckling at a national high school show choir competition, like, they would get kicked out.
Yeah.
They would get kicked out.
I know.
It's so dumb. Also, how about at the beginning of this episode when they're like, the Brainiacs are going to Detroit, and Will is like, you guys are on the Brainiacs? I mean, I understand you three, but Brittany, you're a huge moron who doesn't know anything. You're dumb as rocks. Why are you on the Brainiacs?
As a person who is insecure about being dumb, if anyone ever said anything like that to me, I would die. I would keel over on the spot. That is so freaking rude. And the show paints this man who says these things to his like students as, like, this hero. And I'm like, are you listening to the words you're actually giving him?
And once again,
oh my gosh!
Once again, Will is given the role of, like, the students come to him for help, and his answer is, you need a thicker skin. Like, last week when they were like, here's all the ways that Sue is abusing us, and he was like, let's write a song about it. And then Tina's like, I've never felt worse in my life. And he was like, hey, well, maybe if you sang better, they wouldn't have heckled you.
Literally, he's like, well, we just got to be good enough not to heckle.
Oh my gosh.
Will Schuster deserves the guillotine. I said what I said.
Remember how Miss Goop tells him that he's the nicest guy that she's ever dated?
Which, like, God.
Has she been dating murderers?
Literally. Like, what's up? This guy is a step above that, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Poor Miss Goop.
Miss Goop. All right, next number, Night Neglect, Mike Chang's dance.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
Beautiful.
Incredible. I also love Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
Love Jack Johnson.
And
love
you know
song.
What? Underground artist, no one's ever heard of him, very neglected, Jack Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making Banana Pancakes, no one's ever heard that song.
No. No one has ever seen the Curious George movie.
Yeah, never.
No one has ever been to Hawaii in their lives with their white family. I have not. this song and this dance truly is very 2011 to me, mm-hmm. and I can't put my finger on it, but it is so good.
You're
it's
like,
so
ooh,
sweet.
I just turned 16. Yes. I just had my sweet 16 on Fox.
I was like, I was not 16 in 2011. Totally, totally. It is, and it's so good. And I love that, like, Mike is a neglected character on this show. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And he got his moment.
Yeah, he gets the whole song. It's great.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody's heckling him.
Also, interesting tidbit. You can tell that the writers were like, Night of Neglect, neglected artists. Also, like, a little meta, Night of Neglect, kind of like neglected cast members.
Yes.
Did you notice they're all people of color?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean,
well, I mean, that sucks that they have to do that. I know it sucks that they have to do that, but like, it is cool that that happened. But
oof. Yeah, it just illustrates the fact that like they're always very focused
on
mainly on like the white Quinn characters
and Rachel, yeah, and they're like, Finn. Yeah,
Mercedes has a fantastic voice. Like Amber Riley's a great singer.
Yeah,
so we'll wheel her out to sing songs. No plot lines for her though. And then for Jenna Ushkowitz, they're like, I don't know, play the piano.
Yeah.
I don't know, stand behind someone and do some oohs and ahs. Very dumb.
Yeah, super dumb.
We skipped, because it was before Night of Neglect, we didn't talk about All By Myself, Sunshine Corps Zone.
All by myself. It's great. It's incredible.
My one thought is that at the end, Jake Cyrus does the Wicked riff.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. I was wondering. I know. I noticed that as well. And I wondered if that was just like a fun, like, theater kid Easter egg. I hope so.
I don't know.
So fun.
Very funny.
Very fun. Great, great rendition of that song, too. So good. So good.
All right. Wow. We are blazing through this episode.
Well, there's not much to talk
about.
There
truly is not much to talk about.
I'm trying
to think of, I'm like going through my notes to see if there's anything we need to talk about before we like hit the Mercedes, which is like,
I like that. This is just a note I have. It's the first note I read. Sue calls, Terry a shrew. That's very funny to me.
Very good.
Should we talk about them? Our Legion of Doom.
League of Doom. Yeah.
Wow. So much rage comes from this plotline for me, specifically because I hate, and we've talked about this before, they kept Jocelyn Gilsig on payroll for way too long for her to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I guess she's going to come back soonish. I don't know.
She comes back a few more times this season.
Yeah. But like, why, sister? Like, if you're going to bring her in, bring her in. Like, I don't know. I felt bad. It just makes me feel sad for her. And like, this is Sandy Ryerson's last episode, which I think it should be. I think you're right. He doesn't belong on this show anymore. Yeah, like, he's like straight up a sex offender. Like, he should not be at the school.
Like, even beyond that, like, the style of the show has shifted so much since he was
so
on
true,
it.
So true.
My League of Doom thoughts are, I think this is a home run concept. I think it is such a fantastic idea they had, which is like, we have all of these tertiary characters who have been kind of like mini bosses
and neglected
that we don't know what to do with, and like Sue is at her most angry with Will. What if she starts a supervillain league?
Yeah, I
think that is an inspired idea that they botched so hard. Like, I think it very easily could have been like a multi-episode arc. I think it could have been very fun.
And like, they're the supervillains, like all the people that Will has wronged, or like the people who have like a vendetta against the club.
Yeah, like that. And also it would fit the, like, what is so funny about the show, where it's like, you guys, like, Will is just a teacher who is literally coaching a glee club in like Lima, Ohio for no money. He is not getting paid for it. And yet like this group of fully grown adults are like, we must band together to take down this club.
That's funny.
Like, it fits the world of glee and the humor of glee so well. And the fact that like all they have Dustin do is like hit on Holly once and that's it. And then Sandy is handled a little bit better. I don't love what they did with him, but at least like he gets something to do. And
you don't
like
the nickname, the Pink Dagger?
I honestly don't, accept for when he has the change of heart, because he hears Mercedes sing and he funds the whole trip, which I do think is funny.
Aretha is his weakness.
And then he says, he's like, kryptonite. I'm so sorry for what I did. I've really missed the arts. He starts to leave. He turns around and goes, you've just been poked by the Pink Dagger, and then walks away, like all like heartfelt
and
mournfully.
And then it cuts to Rachel, and she's like,
That was the one part that I was like, this is the Sandy Ryerson I remember.
Dude, that is so Ian Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
But the rest of his stuff, I was like, yeah. I did think it was funny that Sue asked him how he walked into the building without setting off every fire alarm.
Yeah.
But I think League of Doom is such a fantastic idea, and I think they did absolutely nothing with it, mm-hmm. and that is so disappointing.
So disappointing. How do you feel about the Heckling Club?
I think it's fun. I think it's fun to have like a mini League of Doom.
I do love Azemio.
And it's like Azemio, Jacob, and Becky. Like, I think that's all fun. Just once again, I'm kind of like, it was just... this episode, like I said at the beginning, was all very good ideas that none were realized well. That they like didn't really do anything with.
I do like the idea that they carpooled together. Because Sue says that they all left together. So like, that's like a fun little like posse. Like...
like Zemio, Jacob, Becky, and Azemio just like hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out.
Like, they're like, do you want to go grab some pizza after this? Like, yeah. Like, that's up. Honestly, I'd watch a buddy comedy of those three. I did really like the moment with Kurt and Blaine in the hallway and then running into Krofsky.
I mean, you know, who else liked that moment? Glee Wiki was the best catfight of season two.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Santana is incredible in it, and she is so funny. I love her. But it definitely wasn't the best cat fight.
Yeah.
I loved his little hippo pin.
She has family. She's a mother.
I feel like I remember that hippo pin so much. Is it? Did they bring that back later?
No, Kurt wears a hippo pin a lot.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
He wears it a bunch, and you can like buy a hippo pin.
I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I want it. Because I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, the hippo pin.
I like when Clayne is walking through the auditorium to take their seat. And Sandy, like, yells something, and Blaine just goes, you're a horrible person, and then keeps walking.
Yeah, and no, nothing else is said. I love that. I do like that when Sandy is like, it's drug money, but turns out it's a great way to launder it. Like, that line made me laugh. Other than that, I truly don't have much to say about this episode.
Well, we haven't talked about Mercedes. Yeah.
Mercedes.
But that's the thing, is that Mercedes is like the final stamp. So like, if there's nothing else.
I have a note in here that says, Mercedes rocks. Will sucks.
That's true. All right. You want to talk about Mercedes Jones?
Yes, absolutely.
Give me your thoughts.
I love Mercedes Jones. She is so amazing. I like that she has a bigger episode in this. And I like the arc she goes on. I think in any woman's like journey, a like confidence journey, there is that moment that goes a little far,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like I think society is so terrible to women that you sometimes push back and it gets a little out of hand. So I'm not bothered by anything in this plot line, but I do like that. And I think I like the journey that she goes on. I like the pep talk that Rachel gives her later and is like, you know what? Aretha Franklin is a queen because someone decided one day and she just went with it. Not because she was rude to other people or this or that or that. It was because it just happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. Her song is incredible. I liked the little duo of Mercedes and Lauren. I thought that was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were funny together. Yeah, that's how I felt. How did you feel?
I love seeing Mercedes have a storyline that's not about food.
Oh my God, thank God.
All she's had all season. I like the conversation. I love, you know, Rachel was like, Mercedes, we can't have this conversation in the hallway in the middle of passing period because that's where Will and Holly are breaking up. Although it was at night when they did that. So she was like, other alternative, we have to be in a car during a rainstorm.
Yeah, I loved it.
It's Glee.
There are two options.
And I love that during that conversation, Mercedes says like, why are you a bigger star than me? Because,
oh
amen.
My gosh, yes, absolutely.
Because agreed. And like, you guys, Rachel is the main character.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, but like, the difference between the amount of storylines and songs and screen time given to Rachel over Mercedes is like Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Like, it is so extreme. But like, Rachel has that conversation with Mercedes and the whole time it's like, you're one to talk.
Yeah.
She first of all talks about, I don't know, it's a very confusing conversation because you can tell that the writers are aware that Rachel doesn't treat other people well. So they like have her talk about like, well, the thing is like, I want to be a star more than anything. And so I will do absolutely anything to be a star, which like, wow, very unhealthy way to live, Rachel.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then at the same time, she like counsels Mercedes about how like Mercedes is a star and doesn't have to be rude to people to get it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the Rachel stuff in the episode with the fact that, like, she sees how hurt Mercedes is and she realizes that she's culpable. Because I think a lot of Rachel's flaws are not that she is a malicious person. It is just that she is very unaware of other people. Like, she doesn't intentionally hurt other people. She just truly, like, has blinders on.
Yeah.
And so, like, she realizes how Mercedes is hurting. I love her coming to Mercedes' aid. I love watching her watch Mercedes do such a good job and just, like, how happy she is for her.
Absolutely.
So I do like a lot of the Rachel stuff. And I guess I don't really have a problem with that conversation. It just is kind of like, Rachel, you do this kind of stuff all the time. Why are you now, like, the one who's telling Mercedes that she is being a little extreme?
I do have a question.
Yes.
Do you think that Rachel cares more about being a star than she does being loved?
I think that she equates being a star with being loved.
That makes sense. Because the way that Rachel explained it, I was just like, I just don't buy it that much. Because I feel like, yeah, like, a lot of Rachel's storylines have to do with her, like, wanting to be a star and wanting to be famous and wanting to be successful. But as many of them, if not more, have to do with her and her relationship to the people she's dating.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Quinn and, like, to other people. And I know that she, like, grossly mistreats all of them and, like, has a really, like, messed up, like, view of all of that, but, like, when she said, I don't care about other people, like, caring about me, I'm like, I don't feel like that's true.
I think that's a rat, like, that's what she tells herself. I think the reality is Rachel Berry was born to two very overbearing parents who were, like, very into Broadway and pushed her very hard to excel at a young age.
Yeah.
And so she was taught from a young age.
Damn you, dads.
Exactly. I don't know what that's from. What is that
from? It's Only Child.
Oh, Only Child, Only Child, Only Child. sorry, that song's not very memorable. Anyways, so she was conditioned from a young age to view excelling at something being worthy of love. And so she always, it's not that she wants to be famous because, like, she thinks she's better than everyone, although that does sometimes play into it, but it's more like, I have to get all of these solos, I have to be successful, I have to be famous, because that's the only way that people are going to love me.
Yeah.
Because on top of being conditioned that way, it then made her overbearing, and then people didn't like her at all.
Yeah.
And so the only praise she ever got was for performing. And so,
oh, sure, yeah, absolutely.
And so I think when she realizes that she has hurt other people, she does have genuine empathy.
Yeah.
Like, I think she does really feel bad about how she treated Mercedes in this
one.
But it's just, like, she constantly is hurting other people because she is so focused on, like, I have to reach this goal. I have to be the best because that's the only way that I am going to, like, get people to care about me. That's my essay on Rachel Berry.
Oh, wow. Heartfelt. I appreciated it. Yeah. Thank you.
And perfect. So that's why she like, I don't think she realizes it, but that's why she talks about how she would do anything to be a star and that she doesn't care what other people think and all of that stuff. Because she has given up on trying to have people like her for, like, her social skills.
Yeah.
And so she has stopped trying that in that department.
Sense. That makes sense. Thanks, Ian.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I'm so glad I got to go to your TED Talk. Yay!
But yeah, I don't the Mercedes stuff in this episode, it is something that Glee does all the time that is such a bad habit of theirs, which is, the writers clearly recognize that they have done something wrong. And they write an episode about how they did, or they, like, make a joke or something about how we did this thing wrong, which in this situation is the writers recognizing that Amber Riley is so talented and we have not given her her due on this show. And then after spending a whole episode about it, they don't fix it and they go back to how it was before.
Absolutely. I think it starts this weird trend in Glee where the actors' personal lives start to mirror, or like the actor, well, the show starts to mirror what's going on in the actor's personal lives. Which bothers me. It really is
very unhealthy.
Very not a fun thing. And so when you have Amber Riley, which I have no idea what it was like for her on set, but I'm sure she, who is an incredible performer, a beautiful actor, an amazing person, doesn't understand why she is not the star, you know? And then they give her this line that's like, why are you a bigger star than me? And I'm sure that hurts, you know?
And it is frustrating because it is such a, like, you know, like, fertile storyline. Yeah. I don't know, but that sounded fertile. Weird. I did not like the sound fertile. Of that coming out of my mouth.
What a weird word. Fertile.
But it is like there's so much potential in that aspect of Mercedes' personality. And they do like go back to it a few times, but like there's so much storytelling opportunity and they don't really, it's just squandered. It's disappointing. Also, hear me out.
Hearing you.
I'm with Puck on this. You put together this whole concert. You have roped in an entire gospel choir. You have roped in an entire orchestra of 10-year-olds. Like, so many people are giving up their... because they're not getting paid. No. So many people are giving up their free time to do this concert. You go out and there's only 6 people in the audience and all of them are yelling at you. Cancel the show. Just be like, everyone go to dinner or something.
Really?
You were going to say you got to do it?
Oh, well, no, I would kick them out.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I would kick them out. Do it for Blaine and Kurt.
I can see doing it for Blaine and Kurt, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Do we have much else to say about the episode?
No, that's the end of my thoughts on the episode.
We've been speaking for 1 hour and 10 minutes.
I know, it's not going to be a long one. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. Or you're welcome. But truly, that's how I think that encapsulates my feelings on this episode.
All right, well, that's season wrap on Night of Naglicht.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Ian, what was your best part of this episode?
Best number, I Follow Rivers. You guys, you gotta listen to the full version. It's very, very good. But like best number in episode would maybe be Mike's dance. It's very fun.
Oh, yeah.
It just reminds me of being newly 16 and newly having my birthday party broadcast on national television.
That was such a fun experience for us.
Very fun.
They said that we sang the Sweet 16, gonna spread my wings.
They brought Hillary Duff out to sing it with us.
Honestly.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, and then she did the la 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 la.
Best part of the episode. Oh my gosh. Like, there are a lot of, I would say, like, I was so glad to see these characters back, but then I'm like, but then I didn't like what they did with them. Yeah. So no. Oh gosh. I'll look at my notes. This is a thinker. Honestly, best part of the episode is after an episode where I was like really, there was a Rachel Berry oversaturation. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see an episode where A, Rachel doesn't sing at all, and B, her whole plot line is helping someone else and like feeling joy through seeing them be so happy.
Totally. I hear that.
It was nice to like see her character do something good.
Yeah.
All right. What was your best part?
I think my best song was Turning Tables.
Okay.
So fun. I think you called it Trading Tables.
Did I?
Like it's the like, restaurant it's like where you like call TLC them on the phone.
TLC show Trading Spaces.
Oh, Trading Spaces.
But all they did was they just took their neighbor's table and their neighbor took their table and they redecorated it.
Did you ever go to the restaurant like Trading Tables?
No.
Where they had the phone at the table and you would call them and you would order your food on the phone and then you'd go like grab it from like the line.
No.
Very fun. No waiters.
And also, Miss Goop was singing the whole time. She was singing Trading Tables.
Literally.
Incredible.
I think that's my favorite song. I think my favorite part, probably the cat fight or Mike's dance.
Mm.
Yeah. Ian, what was your worst part?
Oh my gosh, what wasn't my worst part? Frankly, my worst part, like the whole episode's a big nothing burger.
Honestly.
But my worst part specifically is Tina finally getting a song, it being, in my opinion, the best song choice for Jenna Ushkowitz's voice that they made in the entire show.
Yeah.
And for like Tina's personality, and them to not only cut it off at 48 seconds, but also interject it with people telling her how horrible she is. Yep. For the 48 seconds that she gets
absolutely
to sing.
Absolutely.
Tina, they did you so wrong. Tina Cohen Chang.
What was your worst part?
My worst part, that's the good worst part. I would say, along with that, I would say my worst part is Will. And his, like, treatment of the club, his treatment of his partner, his treatment of other people, like, and facing no repercussions ever because it's Will. Mm-hmm. I hate him so much. He genuinely fills me with a rage of a thousand suns. He ruins this show for me very frequently. Like, it is something that keeps me up at night, and not even like the funny, like, hate on Will Schuster way, but in the way that, like, it sometimes makes me not want to watch this show anymore, where I'm like, I don't care about this person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's my worst part.
All right.
Should we talk about what we're singing for
our own assignment?
Not of neglect.
So the Glee kids really took this theme and they put it in the toilet and they took a huge dump on it.
Literally.
No one cared except for Tina. But we're actually going to stick to it. So The assignment of the week is a song by a neglected artist. Lena, what are you singing?
Okay. Ian and I had this conversation. We both truly really like
mainstream music.
I love pop music. I love like popular rock music. I love musical theater. I'm very mainstream in my tastes.
You know, musical theater, what all the normies listen to.
I mean, normies were the people I hang out with.
That's true.
Look at every single one of my freaking friends.
Look at the apartment building we're in.
Literally,
I get woken up by tap dancing.
And I'm filled with great joy. I decided to sing a song by an artist who I think a lot of people have heard of, but not a lot of people have heard like a lot. Like, she's definitely a one-hit wonder, I would say. But like, if people like listen to her music, they wouldn't feel this way. I'm singing a song by Ingrid Michaelson.
I love Ingrid Michaelson.
Do you?
I just said Markelson.
Markelson. Okay. I'm going to sing the song December Baby.
I don't know that one.
It's so good. I'll play it for you after we wrap, but super cute. It's just a fun song. It's kind of sad, but I feel like it would be a fun for a night of neglect. And like that song is kind of like about being neglected by like a partner. So very
double
cool.
Theme.
Double theme. You know me. I'm always on theme. Ian, what are you singing?
I'm singing a song by, I think his name is Taylor Barrett.
Are you kidding? I love Taylor Barrett. I lied. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was like, how do you know who this is?
I lied.
Literally, the only reason I know this song is I think my brother and him have a mutual friend.
Oh, okay.
His album is on Spotify. It's called Great Falls, but specifically he has a song called Hypnotize Me, which is legitimately very good. Mm-hmm. People should go listen to it. I have not heard his other music. I'm sorry, Taylor.
Sorry, Taylor.
But I have heard Hypnotize
Hopefully
Me.
Hopefully he's listening.
And it's very fun. And so that's what I'm singing for the night of neglect.
Wow,
yo.
So excited for our concert, our two-person, two-song concert.
Heyo.
Heyo.
Ingrid Markelson.
Wait, you know what?
And Taylor
Tina
Bure.
Tina can come.
And she can finish her song.
She can finish her song. And no one in the audience looking at you fuckers, we're not going to heckle her at
all,
and
if someone heckles, we will do what people actually do when someone heckles in a theater, and we will
escort
them out. The way that Will acts as if his
normal
hands are tied and he has no power in any situation.
He also is so weird because he acts like he like knows shit about shit when he absolutely does not.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, this could happen at Nationals. I'm like, what? You went to Nationals one time in high school?
Also,
in
like
the 90s?
Is that what happened? Like, you were singing Shake Your Groove thing and the audience was like, you suck!
Disco sucks!
To be fair, that did happen to him in Showmance. That the whole Glee clip told him that disco sucked.
No, I know that.
And he's
but
like, he's like,
students,
you guys
have to.
Will's been hanging on to that
I know
for a year and a half. And when Tina comes back
like,
crying, he's
yes
like, serves you fucking right for saying disco sucks. Yes.
Like, you'll like, get your dues.
Fully, Holly is like, Will, can't you, like, you're a teacher, these are students, can't you tell them to leave? And he's like, no, these little idiots told me when I wanted them to do La Freak, they said that disco sucked. They have this coming. Time for them to feel what I felt a year and a half ago.
Will sucks. I hate him. Well,
I'm waiting for you to start.
That's our episode on
Night of Neglect. I legitimately forgot the name of the episode.
I did too. Well, hear me out. I'm like, all the time, I'm like, I am way too, like, forgetful and ditzy to do a podcast because I'm always like, I don't remember their name. It's Quinn Fabre, idiot.
Oh, speaking of Quinn Fabre, I did appreciate, I like that they're giving her this hyper fixation on prom queen because it feels like they're finally doing something with Quinn.
I know.
That I was like,
to care about.
Yeah, she has an arc. She's doing stuff. Her giving the candy and saying, vote for Quinn Fabre for prom queen is very funny. Yeah, and I
totally buy that she was the one. She's like, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pass out the candy.
Also, hear me out.
Hearing you.
I like Quinn. I like them together.
I know. I like them too. I mean, she shouldn't be with him because she doesn't like boys, mm-hmm. but I do like them. I think Finn is definitely a chiller person around Quinn.
Yeah.
In the way... I don't know. I think,
and like she seems much healthier than she was at the beginning of season one, where she would like verbally abuse him all the time.
Oh yeah, that sucked.
Yeah. All right.
Probably. Yeah. You know.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say it's probably because she's like so worried about being prom queen that she's like, we gotta look really good.
That she's like,
you know what? They do look really good together.
They do. Ken and Barbie.
Ken and Barbie.
Although Ken was Sam in that situation, but no, it's Finn.
It's Finn.
Well. That's our episode.
Bye, guys.
If you have thoughts, we're not ending it yet. If you have thoughts about Night of Neglect, you can send them to
us. Night of Paul Blart.
Night of Paul Blart. Or if you have thoughts on Paul Blart, Mall Cop 1 or 2, a movie
Dude,
which
you know who's Jayma in that. Jayma freaking May is friend of the podcast.
Jayma May is friend of the podcast. She's also in this episode. They don't give her a lot to do because much like Jenna Ushkowitz, the writers do not care about her.
Yeah.
And she is
only a plot device for Will. He even says something to her. He's like, we'll get over this. Like her OCD. Like,
hear me out.
Hearing you.
I thought that scene was sweet.
Really?
Because it might have been because it subverted my expectations. What I fully expected to happen was that she talks about my OCD has gotten so bad. Carl left. I don't know how to handle this. And Will grabbed her lunch. And I was like, he's about to freaking exposure therapy her again. That I thought he was going to be like, I just touched this food. Eat it. I'm going to make you better.
Yeah, I hear that.
But the fact that he was like, you will get over this. But until that happens, I will be your friend. I will support you. I will not judge you. And I was like, wow, a rare moment of like not trying to fix someone for Will. Where instead of like trying to fix them, he was just like, hey, I'm just going to continue to be your friend.
While actively fixing her food, though.
Well, but he was doing like the thing that she always does, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear that.
Which like, it might have been a little much for him to actually do it. But instead of like making the grape dirty and feeding it to her, it was like, I know that you want this cleaned off and that's something you're self-conscious about that you have to do that. But right now you're in such a bad place. Like, look, I will clean it off. I'm not judging you for needing to do this.
I hear that.
I mean, like, feel free to disagree with me, everyone. But I personally thought that was a nice scene.
Well, if you have thoughts on Paul Blart Mall Cop, that scene, or Night of Neglect, you can send them to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek if you want to send us a voicemail. Or you can send us an email at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter, @recoveringgleek. Instagram, @recoveringgleek_podcast. You can find us on TikTok with the same
as our Instagram.
Not Twitter. You won't find Twitter. Us.
You will get lost.
You will get lost.
You will never find your way back. You will be like Holly Holiday walking through that dark hallway trying to find the exit to the school. You will be stuck there until the janitor comes at 5 a.m.
You know, that's why she's not in the show anymore.
That's why she hasn't come back until season 5. She
still is like in the shadows.
She has just been like groping at the air trying to find anything. I have seen Doctor Who.
Is it the silence in the library where like it's the shadows that are like the monsters?
I think so. I remember that like that's the River Song episode and like they get stuck in a computer.
Dude.
I want to watch Star Trek bad.
Anyways, well, thanks for listening, you guys. If you want to support this podcast financially, you can do so on anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. You can click the support button. If you want to support us with your words, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's the end of our show, Bop. Thank you all for listening.
Mm-hmm. Short one today. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day. Love you. Here is a neglectful kiss on your forehead. It didn't happen.
Because you're neglected.
But here's this one.
Bye. Bye. Wait, pick a note on three. One, two, three. Bye. Beautiful.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please. Oh yeah, not neglect. Miss Goop is back. And she's breaking Will's heart. Cause he cleaned Emma's grapes, yeah. Mercedes is a diva, and Rachel talks her out of it. Even though Rachel's been a way worse diva than Mercedes in the social bar. Oh, Tina finally gets a song. Just kidding, no she doesn't. Because these writers hate Jenna Ushkowitz, and she probably goes to therapy now. Sandy is back and Dustin, and Sunshine and Jacob and Becky, and Ezemio and Terry. But guess what? They're all wasted on this dumb show. Net and neglect. Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty good. Bye.
Bye.